Just 19 years ago, 1994, the same year as our ceasefires here, nearly a million people were slaughtered in Rwanda, almost 20% of their population. It's hard to believe any country could ever rebuild from that utter horror, and yet that's what's happened. In fact, it could be argued that reconciliation there is at an advanced stage to what we have in some other parts of the world, including here. We have a special report now, and from a very rather special reporter. When we heard that the Presbyterian moderator, Dr. Rob Craig, was going to Rwanda, we gave him a tape recorder to take with him. This is his report.
I think I'm amazed to see how large the city is and indeed, in a sense, how prosperous, maybe not by Western standards, but there's a sense of life and vitality and rebuilding about the place. Discovering that Rwanda is a country of hills, it's lush, it's green. Obviously, it is coming back to life, perhaps after the difficult days of 15 years ago.
Welcome to the Kigali Genocide Memorial Centre.
We're sitting in the central heart of the Genocide Museum, looking at sculptures which have been produced by a local artist which describe or seek to portray the story of Rwanda.
At the very early stage of the aftermath, we had the remains of the people everywhere. So the government had a conception of creating like a common place, and it helps to actually raise awareness on what happened here. And we have 250,000 people who have been buried on this ground. We have all of the names, some gardens around as well.
I'm quite overwhelmed. There are lots of things really going racing around in my head at one and the same time. You know, very quickly, the genocide burst onto the community. There had been preparation for it. I think the powerlessness of the international community. The bit that I find most difficult are the video recordings of the survivors, especially what happened to the weak, the children, the women and the elderly. Very hard to watch and to listen and just not be moved and distressed by it. I think the positive thing is to understand how Rwanda as a country has, within a relatively short space of time, been seeking to build a new society, a new community. Fascinating to see how they have tried to cope with issues of justice and memory, and to try and handle both how victims and the grief feel, and how those who were caught up in the violence and the perpetrators, what they have done, and how they seek justice, but also to restore relationships. That's the positive dimension coming out of Rwanda. There's a Presbyterian church within Rwanda, and we spent some time together with the moderator.
Nice to meet you.
Emily
Zimusanakweli, the president of the Presbyterian Church.
And discovered that the Presbyterian Church in Rwanda is of a similar size in terms of numbers of members, about 300,000, similar size to the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. They have roughly 100 ministers currently in active service. After the genocide, they had lost a number of their ministers who were killed. They lost their theological college, and there's been a process of rebuilding not only of the college, but also of its ministry personnel. We arrived at a Presbyterian church on the outskirts of Kigali. I would say this is a church that materially wouldn't have as much as churches within the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. And yet, from nothing in 1996, had grown and expanded in many, many different directions in terms of its ministry, so that right beside the church was both a nursery school and a primary school. People have come together and are seeking to not simply share their financial resources, but also share their skills and enable people to become, through their own resources, independent and provide for themselves.
The women group here. For them, it was a really problem to go to fetch water from 18 kilometers. So they sat down and say, what can we do? And they say, oh, we have stones here in the community. We have sand, so we can use our hand to work. And then they collect some money to pay the masons to build the town. We say, oh, this is a good initiative. We can support them. So we started the water tank project. And now already we have 114 water tanks in the community.
I think the churches are very different from what we're used to. Interesting, I find that the problems that have been solved were very much the initiative of the women, who maybe were carrying the greater burden and could see the answer to the problem and were the, humanly speaking, the driving force behind it.
Well, we're now standing in Kayonza, which is in eastern and rural Rwanda. There is quite a large establishment here engaging with the farming, the rural community, encouraging, enabling people to buy a cow, to have some chickens, to be growing bananas and indeed developing tomato plants. We've discovered in Rwanda nothing is wasted, that all the manure, from be it from the cattle or from the poultry, is then used to feed the banana plants, to, and they've seen already a significant increase in the yield or the harvesting of the bananas from a bunch weighing 20 kilos to now weighing 120 kilos, which is a substantial difference. And again, that's increasing the income for the family and thus increasing their own ability to maintain themselves. We've just been to see a pig cooperative which has been supported and funded by a combination of the local Anglican diocese, Christian Aid and the local tea plantation. The benefit is that the people who are part of the cooperative are all HIV positive. They've come back into Rwanda post-genocide, so they're having great difficulty in settling down and being able to support themselves and feel a part of the community again. So there's that initial sense of self-respect and dignity that it gives to people. Also the very practical financial help that they get, because they are breeding pigs and they are sharing the pigs that they breed, both in terms of financing for themselves and providing for their children. We spent upwards of an hour with Bishop Emmanuel, and he gave us an overview of the partnership between Christian Aid and his Anglican diocese in the north of Rwanda. I gently probed him, I suppose reflecting on the situation in Northern Ireland. I asked him about how easy it was to get people to meet together who had been former enemies, and he acknowledged that it was not an easy experience. He talked about how in certain situations, if it was an eating house or a bar owned by person of one tribe, then others would not frequent it. And so there have been very deep divisions and very deep pains within the community, and he admitted that. Also, he was brave and honest enough to admit that on the fringes of Rwandan life, that there are those who would want to stir things up again, and they work, if you like, to diffuse that. He talked about the process by which they tried to help people. And first of all, he said people had to feel safe. And then feeling safe, people needed to build up trust. And then people needed to know that they were cared for, and people no longer felt vulnerable. Then they could begin to talk about their stories. I have to say, we found that the people in Rwanda don't want to sit about and have everything done for them, but they just need a little bit of help and to be given some resources, and they will certainly do what they can.
The Presbyterian moderator, Dr. Rob Craig, and big thanks to Stephen Linus, the Presbyterian Church's head of press, for producing that audio diary for us. Fascinating stuff. And after 9 o'clock this morning, we'll be exploring the lessons of Rwanda for our own peace process, with Rob Craig and others taking part.